Smile artist.
All right, Shelly, let me know when you're ready. We'll be going. All right, good morning, everybody. We're called to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting. Supervisor Olson will be joining us momentarily, but for now, everybody please join us as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you. Good morning. I'm still hopeful that spring is going to come back. It feels like it deserted us. And for those of us that are traveling to Phoenix later this week, I'll just say it's going to be 105 on Friday.
Tell us about the pool, Rex.
I'll make sure I'm calling you guys while I'm down there. Public comment number one is an opportunity for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda. Is there anybody wishing to do so? Come right up to the microphone. And seeing no one moving immediately to the microphone, we'll move on to agency reports. Lutheran Services of Iowa, Alyssa Rasmussen is here. Alyssa, come right on up. Thank you so much for joining us. This is your first time to join us. Outstanding. Well, welcome.
Good morning.
So I'm Melissa Rasmussen, I'm the service coordinator with LSI for our early childhood program. And part of our program that Story County funds is our crisis child care program. And that is an opportunity for people in Story County through our program to access registered daycare providers in the state of crisis. So we are able to provide families that are in Story County, have a child between the age of 0 and 12, and that are facing a crisis to place their children with us in safe environments for up to 72 hours. And right now for this fiscal year, we're above last year, so that's kind of a double-edged sword because you want to keep the numbers moving, but then you also don't want people to be facing crises. So we kind of go back and forth with that. Our main focus for this year, though, is facing Story County as a whole rather than just Ames. I think Ames is easy because there's so many people there, so it's a bigger target. But we're really trying to reach out to those smaller communities that don't have as many resources. So that's what we've really been pushing in this third and fourth quarter now. We've been able to make really good relationships with a lot of these small counties. I think they're really appreciative that we're coming in and we're trying to let them know of our services because they have a lot of families that don't have places to go in need of crisis. We're also able to provide transportation, which is huge. Story County's big, and a lot of people, when they don't have resources, they don't have transportation. So knowing that we're able to help them in that situation, I think is also a bonus for them. So far, we've been able to make good relationships in Cambridge with the library. We're really hitting the small elementary schools with their guidance counselors. Actually, I have a staff right now that's at Nevada at the elementary school meeting with them to kind of go along with our program. Colo and Ballard, we have a really good relationship with those guidance counselors right now. So we're going to start seeing a huge influx with those smaller communities, which we're pretty excited about. They think it's easy for them to kind of get left off the radar. Rather than, you know, oh, Ames is huge, like, let's just focus on that. So we're pretty excited to be able to make those relationships and keep going with that from us. But otherwise, this fiscal year right now is going really good for us. We've been able to serve 4 more unduplicated families than last year, and we're already grossly over what we provided in hours last year.
Yeah, more than 20%.
Yeah, and then also, and this isn't counting April, which we just are bringing in the totals now this week, and we had just in Story County 250 hours used in April. So that's a little over 1,000 plus what we just did in April. So, but I did this report obviously before yesterday. So,
well, we sure appreciate you reaching outside the Ames area.
Yeah.
Clearly, some of our families who could utilize these services the most live outside Ames, and so really appreciative that you're starting to form those relationships or strengthen those relationships.
Right.
And thank you very much. Nice job today. Questions?
None. Good job.
Well, you know, let us know how we can be helpful.
Okay.
As you continue to grow the program and make sure that this, I mean, you know, having crisis child care is so vital for so many of our working families that can't take a day off. It really put them in harm's way, basically.
Right.
So thank you so much.
Yeah, and I think with our funders, you know, certain funders, we are only able to serve till 0 to 5. So with Story County funding, that helps us serve ages 5 to 12. So that's also a huge bonus for us.
Awesome. Marty, any questions?
No. I've seen it availing themselves to the schools. I'm not telling them their business model, but you have a collection point for a lot of families.
Yeah.
And the fact you can get relationships in the districts, so they'll point you in the directions you need to know.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks
for coming over. Next, the consideration of minutes from April 25th.
Move approval.
I second.
Motion and a second. Anything to note?
Nothing.
Kitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes pass. Personnel actions as listed, board.
I would move as listed.
Second.
Motion and a second. Olson?
Aye.
Chidi?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Claims for May 4th.
Move as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything to note?
None on this one.
Okay, outstanding. Chidi?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda. Anything that we need to pull and discuss?
I would like to pull item number 2, the abatement of the mobile home.
Okay. Is that a motion with that done?
Yes, I would move pull of number 2.
Well, yeah. How about moving the consent agenda with number 2 pulled?
Sorry about that.
Right.
I move the consent agenda with number 2 pulled.
Okay.
We got a motion and a second. Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Let's discuss Resolution 17-102, abatement of mobile home removed without treasurer's knowledge. Let's see. I'm getting here. Go ahead.
And I went down and did notify the treasurer's office I was going to pull it just because I thought that maybe we should have a little discussion about policy based upon the fact that we have the Crestview situation. So in one hand, we pulled someone who's moved a mobile home without permission, and this tax is due, and this is our normal procedure now to waive the abatement because I assume the treasurer's office has tried to collect the taxes, right? And been unable to do it and can't find the people. And on the other hand, we've got Crestview, where we've got a very large amount outstanding. We do know where to find the person. And I just wanted to make note that this might look inconsistent as a policy, but I don't know that it is. But that's why I pulled it, just so if there were any questions. I mean, here we can't track down the person. In Crestview, we know where the person is.
Well, thank goodness Crestview is kind of, in and of itself, its own unique situation. And so you're right to note that what's going on at Crestview is different on so many levels than what's going on with standard operation of business. As we're doing here, from time to time, amazingly enough, when you have a home with wheels on it, they will disappear without us knowing about them, where we can't track down the owners, we don't know what's happening with it, and that is substantially different than an entire park where things are getting shuffled around and we know who owns them. But as I read what we're talking about here for Resolution 17-102, it's just a very standard business operation for Story County, trying to keep our tax rolls up to date. And when we identify something that we can never, ever reasonably hope to collect, we go ahead and get it off our rolls. Do you guys like to add anything to that?
Well,
and come up so that we can hear you. And thank you so much for coming up this morning.
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 Again. Well, you know, it's not our policy to just automatically abate them. And we, in this instance, this gentleman has been deceased. And the mobile home was in the procedure of being, the park was being sold from Upchurches to Plummerfelds, and somewhere in the routine of that, the mobile home was abandoned because he was deceased. Nobody declared it. So we, there's taxes, the county owns a tax sale certificate on it. So to get something in there, we decided this is, I mean, if you want some kind of, I mean, this is the way we've been doing it, but if it's not, you know.
I didn't pull it for that reason. I pulled it to make note as I came down, maybe I wasn't clear enough. I pulled it just to make note about the differences in what we were able to do in this situation, as opposed to the Crestview situation.
Yeah, so you're not questioning what we're doing.
I'm not
here.
Questioning it at all. I pulled it just to make sure that it was on the public record why this was an approved use, an acceptable use, and will continue to be acceptable.
Okay. Do you feel like we've accomplished that?
I do. I make a motion that we approve it.
All right, we have a motion to approve Resolution 17-102. Any further discussion? Olson?
Aye.
Chi?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. 17-102. Thank you, guys.
Have
a great day.
Thank you.
All right, that gets us through consent agenda. Public hearing items. We have consideration of Resolution 1797 to enter into a purchase agreement for county property locally known as 1411 Gidding Street for the amount of $1. Ethan, Deb?
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Are we finally getting to the end of this, really?
Well, I hope so. This will be the beginning of the end.
Okay, beginning of the end. I like the beginning of the end. You want to walk us since this started way back before this board was ever seated, walk us through how we got here.
All right. This land is part of Iowa State University, and we were looking for a location to build a county maintenance shed for secondary roads. As you recall, we had a shed in Slater, and that building was given to the city of Slater and vacated by the county. And we were looking for a location that would serve not only the Slater area, but also Ames. The shed in Ames is in condition too and not conducive to the needs that secondary roads has. So we found this location. We've been in conversations with Iowa State now for over a year about this location and what dimensions of the parcel would work for secondary roads. Darren provided information in terms of a site or a building that would fit on this land and meet the needs of secondary roads and its equipment and being able to serve the southwest part of the county. So after much contact back and forth with Iowa State on where we need to land on this property, we have the following document that allows us to purchase that land to use it for secondary roads and the southwest part of the county and those roads needs. And I think it's also important to point out within the contract that at any point that the county no longer needs this space or this parcel, that Iowa State gets the first dibs, if you will, at having the land returned to them.
For the same price that we're paying, which is $1. Okay. Ethan, anything you need to add?
I know the process from here will be, once we have a signed purchase agreement, we'll be able to commission the plat survey. So Stumbling Associates will help us with that. Once they have the plat survey done, we'll get the abstract created. And we'll do a title opinion based on the abstract review. And we'll be ready for a closing statement at closing sometime in the future, hopefully in the next 2 months or so. I think it'll be
imagine something like this would take a long time, can you?
4 to 6 weeks for the survey, and then maybe a couple weeks to create an abstract, and then we should be ready to go.
Good. Questions before we open the public hearing?
None.
All right. In that case, I will open the public hearing and ask if there is anyone who would like to address resolution number 17-97 concerning the purchase agreement between Story County and Iowa State. And seeing no one moving the microphone, I'll close the public hearing and turn to the board.
I think this is pretty straightforward and on its face. I have nothing to say, and I would move consideration of resolution 1797 to enter into a purchase agreement for the purchase of Story County property located locally known as 1411 Gidding Street for the amount of $1 and authorize the signature upon the purchase agreement and all other necessary documents to effectuate the purchase by the chairman of the Board of Supervisors.
I would second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion.
I just wanted to thank staff who worked on that and who listened to the concerns also of some of the secondary roads crew. I know Peter and talked to them about it so that it, the concerns were addressed to the best of the ability given this property.
Well, yeah, ultimately, when we get to the point that we put the buildings and we're actually utilizing this facility, it enhances our secondary roads capabilities. And you combine this with the potential new shed in Roland, all of a sudden, and I see Darren sitting back there, all of a sudden servicing different parts of the county get a little easier. And we won't have to worry. Right now in Ames, we have trouble getting our equipment in and out. We won't have to worry quite as much about things like that. So, and echo what Morris said. Great job. Thank you guys. Wasn't necessarily, it's a little like pushing a rope, but we wasn't even trying to get to the end of this.
That's right. We initiated conversations last fall, and you know how attorneys are. They kind of take their time, aren't they?
not attorneys. All right. Anything further?
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 1797 passes, and we now have a purchase agreement for that property. Thank you, guys. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Next item is consideration of revisions to the Story County credit card policy for 7-day review. Auditor Lucinda Martin.
Oh. I was offering her up.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's been a little over 2 years since the board looked at our credit card policy, and Alyssa had asked us to look at it, and Lisa wrote a paragraph, and then I rewrote the paragraph, and then we ran it by Alyssa. So it's a group effort. It was just an addition. If you're looking on the screen, it's highlighted in yellow. If you have a printout, it's just the gray. That's a brand new paragraph. Nothing else has changed. And just our credit card policy, we get a lot of questions about it in the office. It is very restrictive, and that is by design. If you look at any fraud or audit report where there were problems in a local government, the credit card is sort of that gateway in. So we try to be very limited to things like for travel and education. That is by design. People aren't very happy with it. Lisa's worked really hard to set up an Amazon line of credit and store credit. We have a lot of local credit lines with vendors, so to alleviate some of that. But this is to address the issue we have with software, and it's up to you if you want to add this, change this, what have you.
Yeah, and addresses an issue that we have had twice now in the last couple of years, but very recently, a couple of weeks ago, where we had some software that it was at a minimum very difficult to pay for it any other way than credit card. And I'll just note that if this policy passes, it does not give any more flexibility to anyone other than the Board of Supervisors. It would require pre-authorization, pre-approval by the Board of Supervisors in order to use the credit card for anything not expressly stated in our policy. Questions?
Pretty straightforward. I like the fact that you see a rolling series of revisits, and we find ourselves in these times that through recent events that we do another revisit. So I think the language is good. Thank you, Alyssa. I agree, and I would move consideration of revisions to our Story County credit card policy for 7-day review.
I would second. I like how this is spelled out, so it's very clear what we have to go through. We also experienced this with the Adobe Creative Soft Suites that we were trying to purchase, and fortunately we meet weekly because the purchase of software, sometimes we are aware of it and we need it within a week or so. So at least we'll be able to do any waiver in a timely fashion. So anyway, I'm good with this.
Okay, motion to second. Anything further? Chitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Pending 7-day review, so we'll see this back if we get any comments.
I'll send it out to all the departments and offices and see what comments we get back.
Super. Thank you. Next item is consideration of sponsorship of Leadership Nevada in the amount of $500. Marty Chitty and Leanne Hart.
Well,
Marty, why don't you kick it off?
as I think we saw before the board this morning, on a outreach to the communities within the county, and that I would think this would be something that I would ask that you two and possibly others in the county governments, that they look to being made aware of those circumstances that, you know, rise up within individual communities. And for the sake of disclosure, I have not done this myself, but I'm already sitting here as a leader in a community, so I think I've already made my bones that way. But I would like to think that the cost is moderate, and but the worth, I think, is substantial. And I would like to have you guys entertain or discount otherwise.
Leanne, what would you like to add before we ask questions?
Just a little bit on the history of Leadership Nevada program. It is managed through the Nevada Chamber of Commerce. I serve on the steering committee for the county government session. It has been in existence, I think, since 1997 or 1998. Leadership Nevada class runs every 2 years. So this is the year of the Leadership Nevada class. It'll kick off in the fall. It does everything from city government to county government to the hospitals and the schools. In the past, a lot of our Board of Adjustment and Planning and Zoning Commission members have indeed been graduates of the Leadership Nevada program. You don't necessarily have to be a resident of the city of Nevada or within the school district. You can work over here. You can just have an interest in the future of Nevada. To my knowledge, the board has never sponsored financially the program. And while it's a healthy program, it probably could, the additional sponsorship by Surrey County could assist it continue to be healthy. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Absolutely. Questions? I'm sure we're going to get a couple.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If it was a word other than sponsorship, would you feel any different?
Yes.
Okay.
Having been a graduate of Leadership Ames, so I'm familiar with the benefits that a leadership program, usually sponsored by a chamber, can give. So there's no question about that. And I like Leanne pointing out that that's where a lot of our boards and commission members come from, because that's part of the point, is to get more people involved. My concern, I'm not sure it raises to a full issue though, is the word of the sponsorship. Because the implication of that is a little different. We don't need to go out for PR ourselves, I don't think, not that way. We have someone who does this. The other thing that I just think we need to do, one thing is we have historically paid fee for service. So this just brings us into another area of funding. The only other thing I can think of, we discussed just, or at least had a plaque presentation from the Summer Games a couple weeks ago, and I brought up then about that we're funding this particular activity, and yet it's not a fee for service or some kind of service that we're contracting with. The justification for that, I believe, as we come back before the board with a request, will be we have a lot of residents who are participating. So the justification for this goes back to what Leanne said about getting people involved in and looking at opportunities to serve in county government and city government. So I can see where that would fit in with our strategic plan, our C2C plan. I could see where we could say, hey, look, this is part of really what our mission is, and so to fund this kind of program is justified. Okay. So my last concern here has to do with how we would select the person who would attend. And that would be an internal policy for us, because with this sponsorship, membership, whatever, all right, with this financial contribution, we get a member of our staff to attend. And then we're going to have to make some decisions about how we want to select that person, because the obvious benefit isn't there. A member of our staff is not going to, at least while they're working for us, also sit on a board or commission.
So that's here at the county. They might sit elsewhere, but they're not going to be sitting here on a board or commission. So that would be how we have to work it out. So for me, once again, it's about the process, not the overall benefit, not seeing the validity in it as working into some of our goals. But for me, once again, it's the process.
Great. And so I have taken the liberty of scratching out the word sponsor and changing it to funder, and sponsorship to funding, and corporate sponsorship to funding to include your business name, and change that to the county. And hopefully all that gives you a little more comfort. I think it's the right thing to do. I think that it's a great program. Clearly, we partner with the Ames Chamber pretty regularly on what they do. I think it's completely appropriate for us to partner with our other chambers in the county that are doing some of these. And the only thing I'll say about the importance of leadership, I'm hoping for so much, and I expect that we get so much more than just building people to be on boards and commissions, because leadership is about so much more than that. And what we're hoping to get for our community through this, I think it's dollars well invested. So those are my feelings. Marty, anything to add or any notes you make?
I guess I look at this with no expectation that anybody participates that does anything more with it and becomes a more informed citizen. And the fact that they understand the process to a depth that they otherwise might not have the opportunity to learn it. I mean, I don't think that anybody, I'm sure that Leadership Ames and Leadership Nevada have probably just a few people that have moved on to leadership within the community in either the city, the school, or the county. But then, you
don't want to sit here.
Well, and I get that, but I'm just saying that I expect that when you go through the rosters of people that have done it, I don't, to me, have any expectation that they go and do anything more with it other than the fact they learned the process. They learned a community to a depth that they otherwise did not know. They learned the process of the things that happen to the community's behalf on a day-to-day basis. So it's just more of an upper plane observation. That
way. Yeah. As I said, I was just looking for something that stays within our current framework, because there's a lot of programs out there. But with that, I would make the motion to fund it. I've expressed my concerns, and I think at some point we'll probably have to address
it. Before I second this, because I am likely to, do you have any more, anything else? Do you think everything that concerns you had, you're okay with now?
I've noted it, and we'll deal with it as it goes forward. Yeah.
Then I second it.
Motion and a second. Further discussion. Lee, anything to add?
No, other than I think the invitations will be going out in June to potential participants, or the call for people to be a participant, so we'll have to have that discussion too.
Okay, good. Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Our funding is approved. Direction, Alyssa, I'd ask you to start thinking about how we're going to go through taking applications from staff for the one scholarship that we have, and we'll need to figure that out in the next 30 days. Okay, next is Animal Control Review and Update Progress Report. And Loris, Ethan, Sue McCaskey, and Deb Shildroth, and I'll let you guys figure out who does what when.
Is it on the desktop or on the
screen? No, it's on the drive.
Okay.
I didn't have success last time I tried to do a PowerPoint, so I left it on the drive.
PowerPoint or Skype, and it, even though it wasn't Skype.
It wasn't Skype, but I got still on my list to Barb and I to hopefully work something out, or Kyle and I. So.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning again.
We have been working through a process on looking at operations of the Animal Control Department, specifically the contract, ordinances, and just different kinds of practices. And this is primarily coming from comments and questions and concerns from the city contracts that we have throughout the county,
And as we go through this, please insert your comments and your questions, and I invite Ethan and Sue to do the same. So I'm going to kick it off with this first slide on the timing. We've gotten some feedback from municipalities since we put our fiscal year 17 contracts in place. Our current protocol with those contracts is if there is a concern that a citizen has with an animal within their given community, they are expected to contact the local city official, and then the city official would contact the animal control department. And the reason why that understanding is set into place is so that, A, the city knows what's going on, and, B, it's up to the city to fund the service that's provided by the animal control department. And so if they're making that call then to animal control, then they are essentially authorizing then for payment for that service. So that's how why that is set up. Some of the things that are coming up as a result of that is, A, citizens are contacting Sue's office directly, and so they are being asked to get back with their city official to make that call. Sometimes that's happening, sometimes it's not. The city may or may not make the call depending on what time of day. There is a separate charge for after hours calls that is bumped up a little bit from during office hours calls because of having to bring staff out to address those issues. So the city may or may not want to pay that extra cost, so they may or may not call. And as a result, the situation may or may not be resolved. And so that's just something, again, that we're working through as Loris addresses those concerns with city mayors and city councils. The other thing that Sue and I are working on is we're looking at administrative processes. We're looking at the different forms of documentation that are in place, the forms that are used to record that documentation, record retention, those kinds of things. We've also been working on putting together policies that handle segregation of duties and those kinds of things so that we have a clear direction and clear guidance for Sue and her staff as they address the needs in the animal control department. As you're aware, we purchased the animal shelter last August, and we're in the process of working on renovations. We had an RFP that was let for bid in January, and Rosalind Mackey Harris, I'm saying all those names in the right order, ended up being our bidder, and we've met with them. We met with them a couple of weeks ago to go over our wish list and what kinds of improvements we would like to see at the animal shelter. And so now we're waiting for them to come back to us with options on what those designs may look like and deciding how we're going to move forward on those. So those were improvements that we discussed during the CIP process and the fiscal year 18 budget work sessions with the board and the animal control department. We have an addition of a new board supervisors member who is interested in updating the animal welfare section of the county code, so that's another driving force of why we're looking at the way things are done and how we're moving forward. And we're also coming upon the time of year that we want to update the contracts with those communities for fiscal year 18. We also want to pull in Ethan for legal counsel on taking a look at that template and making sure that we have everything that's necessary in a contract moving forward for fiscal year 18. And Loris has been meeting with those city councils to get their input on what they would like to see within the contract, anything that can be made clear, all of those sections so that we can have the best contract possible and that there is a clear understanding of what the contract is supposed to do and the expectations on both sides.
Recently, we've had a request from the City of Collins in response to a specific situation that was going on down there. And so there's been a lot of contact and communication between the Mayor of Collins and Loris on what the situation entails and their response and how they would like to see that handled there locally.
So, in talking to Sue, talking a little bit to Ethan, talking to Deb, decided to put together kind of an action plan as we address this. The communities in red up there were not listed on the original PowerPoint that was posted online, so that's just why they're in red. So we've reached out to everybody who's either been completed or scheduled. There's been one letter going out. Marty took it to Colo last night, so we've asked for a response on May 12th. I'm trying to figure out how to get to Zering and Cambridge next week. At the same time, I'm scheduled to be in Maxwell, Collins, and Slater. And I was in Collins last night briefly. And, Rick, you're going to be there at the Collins City Council meeting again in, what, two
Gilbert.
More weeks?
Okay. Gilbert. Gilbert City.
Gilbert. Okay. Sorry about that.
And how do Story City and Huxley handle?
Story City and Huxley handle their own. For example, Huxley has their officers pick up the animals and take them to a local veterinarian. They are held for 7 days and then often put down. So right now I'm working strictly on the communities that we have contracts with. I've spoken briefly to the mayor of Huxley, who said, let me know, you know, let's have some more talks about whatever happens. And I haven't. Story City is going to be basically the same situation, because Ames has their own animal control, animal shelter. Deb talked about the analysis of all the administrative processes already underway, and she and Sue are focusing on those. While next slide here. Okay. Of course, we've gone ahead and we've purchased, and we're going to be working on the renovation of the animal control shelter, which will include some cattery with glass, so people can see the cats behind glass playing. And then on to the next slide.
What was that term again?
Cattery.
Never heard of that.
Okay. Gary, okay. And then Ethan and I will have some discussions focused on reviewing the ordinance, which is Chapter 45, and also the review of the contract for control services. Next. And then the full committee will get back together here in probably about a week and start to identify the actual changes of it, to process, policy, services, the ordinance, and the contract. And, of course, they fit together. There are reasons for some of these may be identified by one group or the other, but when we all get together and discuss what happens, that may not be something that we end up recommending to the board.
So probably a different board than committee. So committee means something different here.
I apologize. Yeah. You're right. Okay. This group.
Yeah, you got a group of staff members that you've asked to assist in this.
Okay. Yep. Got it. Yes, good. Please. It was not a formally appointed committee.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
We're going to then do a presentation to the Board of Supervisors for consideration on any changes we recommend in mid-May. And then would hope to, after the board approves any changes or not, distribute contracts to the municipalities in late May and host a workshop for the municipalities in late May. It's very clear as we've gone through this process, communication about what exactly they think the contract says versus what it says, or why understanding on our side, maybe our process right now needs to change because there seem to be steps and notification that then people just give up or drop the ball or whatever, okay? And then the municipality ability to sign the contracts in early June. And I have that as the timeline right now because the contracts are scheduled to go into effect July 1, and most of these communities only have one council meeting a month, and it's in the first or second week of the month. Okay? So I'd like to talk a little bit about the situation with Collins leading into Collins' request. Story County Animal Control investigated a beagle being killed by a pit bull on March 1st. After the investigation was completed, Animal Control, designated the animal not dangerous per our code. And that is because, well, it was on its own property and tethered. The beagle wandered in, and nobody observed whether it actually provoked a fight or not, but the animal, per our code, was on its own property protecting its territory and was restrained from getting out of its own property. Then, a couple weeks later, two other incidents with the pit bull were brought to our attention. The first one was an incident of a possible bite to a child. However, that had been reported last September, and the mother who reported the incident told our animal control department that it wasn't quite clear if it was a bite or a scratch. There were two dogs playing in that yard when the child came into the yard, and the child wasn't even sure which one of the dogs kind of scratched her or nipped her when they all kind of went down in a pile, tumbling, playing roughly. Okay?
Right, but that was still in the yard of the dog.
It was still in the yard of the dog. And the dog was tethered at the time. The other incident was not reported, and so we just learned about it 2 weeks after the situation with the beagle. And the pit bull had gotten into the next-door neighbor's yard, and the Labrador that lived at that home went through a screen door to get at the pit bull. And that is, we heard that both from the family that owned the pit bull, and we heard that from the woman who was on the other side, if you will, of the beagle encounter. I also learned about that there had been another animal attack previously that did not involve the pit bull, but it was in Collins, and this woman who owned the beagle, her other dog, a pug, was attacked by her next door neighbor's dog and needed stitches. But once again, was never reported to us. So there seems to be a pattern of not reporting animals unless someone is upset. The pit bull is the only one that seems to have gotten into trouble. As we investigated this, we got another report of a dog bite in Collins. That one was a Jack Russell.
Gotta watch those Jack Russells.
Yeah, you gotta watch those. Rufus is dangerous.
Right.
Unfortunately, as a result of this, as I was trying to work out something about a fence for this family with a pit bull, because both Sue and I met it, I spent an hour with it, watched it interact with a neighbor child, watched it in the backyard, that this was an animal aggressive, territorial aggressive, but not a human aggressive dog. But the family decided to put it down. So Collins, in the meantime, in response to the pit bull situations, but not the other situations, decided to work on their own animal control ordinance. They were not happy with how they felt the investigation came out by Sue because the animal was not deemed dangerous. So I did go out, I did retrace the investigation. Ethan and looked at the animal control determination with all the information Sue had, plus all of the additional information I had gathered, and as it says up here, he continued to support animal control's determination that this animal did not meet the requirements per our law of being a dangerous animal.
Well, did you find the pit bull to be dangerous?
No, I did not find the pit bull to be dangerous at all.
Okay.
So the city of Collins, in working on the ordinance, or really the mayor, and working on this ordinance, doesn't want to finish with the ordinance and present it necessarily if he can't get it enforced. And next slide. So during the discussions, he made an actual formal request
that this Board of Supervisors discuss a couple of policy issues. The first one is that per our contract, we say we will go in and all services will be provided under the County Animal Control Ordinance, not an ordinance that an individual municipality may have. And he doesn't like that. He'd like us to look at our policy for that. And at that, then the second question, right now our contract says that all decisions are made at the animal control officer's discretion. And Mayor Collins wants us to instead look at the animal control officer required to enforce, cite, or impound per authorized city official's direction. And I cleared these statements with Brett as how he wanted them asked. The third one came back from him saying those first two statements were in fact what he was asking us to look at, and said, and we also want to make sure that the gray area within your own code is cleaned up. I asked the Mayor Collins to provide either someone here to speak to the issue or to send some kind of written documentation spelling out what he meant by the gray areas. I think as Ethan and I talk, we might find a couple of areas we might want to be a little clearer, but I don't know that the areas that he believes should be clearer. The best guesstimate I could give you is that he feels that once an animal has bitten, period, it's a dangerous animal, and that's why I laid out these other dog bite incidents, because I am in multiple discussions with, whether it be the owners of the pit bull, with the woman who lost her beagle, or with the mayor. They are very focused on this pit bull, and yet they've had incidents that address other types of dogs. And it is not our purvey, I think, to tell them how to write an ordinance. But certainly in the request that they're asking about us to clean up our own code and to enforce to their ordinance, we want to know all the pertinent facts. And with that point, I'm going to stop, and I think Ethan and Sue have some things to tell you.
Well, I guess just preliminarily looking at this issue, I want to say that Sue does a great job. The investigations I've been able to consult with her on, I found that she's taken the right tack, a very sympathetic approach, but also a fair approach. My caution and my advice to the board would be to maybe slow down this process a little bit. I talked about attorneys going slow. That's kind of a joke, but the real issue is we want to make sure we're doing things correctly and taking a long, hard look at these issues. I don't want this to be a situation of, no pun intended, but the tail wagging the dog, where we're responding to these different cities' emotional events with quick changes to ordinances and contracts. We've had this contract, I think, the existing 20E, for a number of decades. I think it's served us well. I will admit, after reviewing with Loris more closely, there are some typographical errors, mm-hmm. some errors that we can certainly clean up. Mm-hmm. But that, I guess the other couple comments I would have is that it's important to allow Sue and any enforcement officers to have discretion in enforcing the Story County Ordinance. It takes it out of the hands of that emotional decision maker, and it puts it in a neutral,
professional
investigator. Sue has to make a series of interdependent fact determinations in anyone's investigations, and it's best made from someone outside the kind of emotional boiling point in one of these instances. The second would be, contractually, this contract is offered as a benefit to these cities. Any contract has offer and acceptance. I would maybe suggest or throw out there that if the city is really unhappy with the contract that the county is providing and the enforcement of that contract, we can go this route that we're proposing today, which is to look at it and see what we would be willing to revise. But if we're unable to satisfy them and their concerns, they can look elsewhere for a contract.
Or hire their own employee.
I think in meeting with Sue, there was, she did her fiscal review of the contract with Collins, and I believe the county billed Collins, correct me if I'm wrong, with $38.50 for the fiscal year.
Yeah.
So this isn't costing Collins a lot of money. I think it's important that Sue retain her discretion, that maybe these contract changes, initially we could make one quick change to the contract that would say amendments to the contract would be done by mutual agreement of the parties. That would get us past a July 1st contract date, and then we could slow down and take a longer look at this process and see what we really need to fix. But I think the 1 month turnaround here is pretty quick for us to really take a hard look at it and give competent legal advice to the board as a whole, on what they should do. I guess that's my two cents.
I'd like to just point in the response to the dollar amount. The feedback I'm getting unilaterally from communities is they've stopped using animal control because of some communication issues and some that Sue and Deb are working through now. So economically, I don't think we have indicators of how animal control actually would be used if there were some changes made.
Yeah, and this is going to sound strange coming from me, for those of you who know how I feel about bottom lines and dollars and numbers, but I really don't care about the money in this situation. I care about us doing it right and making sure that we're consistent as a county in what we expect from our enforcement officers, because it's much bigger than just Sue. We got Margaret sitting out here who has an enforcement role in her job. We got Jerry Moore who has an enforcement role as part of his job. Clearly, all our sheriff and all of our deputies have an enforcement role as part of their job. And this idea that somebody other than the county, that those individuals are going to be responsible to the ordinances put in place by somebody other than the county or the state, is kind of ludicrous to me. They're county employees. And the second thing is, we have always, and I think most places that get it right, always offer that gray area to their enforcement officers, and they count on them being trained and professional to make great decisions. I think, Laura, you just said, going back and retracing Sue's steps on this one incident in Collins, you found that she made exactly the right decision in deeming it not a dangerous animal. And the reality is, if we had gone the other way and we were bound by enforcing some kind of ordinance that a city had put in, the mayor would have been standing there saying, and I like Brett, but the mayor would have been standing there saying, this dog's dangerous, get rid of him, and we take all discretion out. So I struggle with that. But it's not a dollar issue, whether it's 38 cents or $3,800. In the big scheme of things, us doing it right makes a huge difference. But what I find in listening to everything that's gone on to this point, and something that Deb and Sue and I have been working on for probably the last 9 months or so, there's two different components here, right? There's a contractual component and our ordinance and how that all fits together, but there's also a customer service component, which we need to continue to work hard to make sure that we're providing great customer service. That, to me, is not a contractual item, right? That's a reasonable expectation that if somebody calls, somebody else is going to pick up the phone, somebody else is going to call back, there's going to be some kind of response. But that's separate, as I see it, from a contractual issue.
Correct.
Marty, anything?
I have found great success in my personal and elected life taking wise counsel from a good lawyer. I think as we find ourselves approaching the end of a fiscal, I like the fact that I was offered what I believe to be a path forward, that we could change a bit of the verbiage and give us the time to visit this. But I don't feel that we need to take something up right at this point. In the sense of, Ethan, would you say again what you said, you know, in regards to contractually offering up to the communities? Again, please.
Yeah, I think if we added a provision in the contract that permitted the parties to amend it upon mutual agreement, we could then come back 3 months from now after a more full review, or 6 months from now, and mutually amend those contracts with the municipalities. I think there's lots of different considerations. One would be we want, for Sue's benefit and the city's, one contract. We don't want to contemplate 11 different
contracts. Right. I would be loath to go that direction, too. I think this is... We need to revisit as we do our policies. I believe if you go into the auditor's office, they will pull out a file drawer that will be about 15 inches deep, full of 28 E's the county has enforced or has bound itself to, and I think this is just but one of those.
I think that would be a viable option, Ethan, in talking to the communities I've spoken with so far and the ones I'm going to next week. A temporary language change to give us more time, I think they all would be acceptable for that. They would entertain that. They're more interested in long-term change. They're more interested in finding ways that meet their needs and still allow us to deliver service and everything. So I think that's a viable. The timeline I laid out there was strictly upon doing the July 1st, which is when those contracts expire. I think that's a workable. To go to them and say, okay, will you be willing to amend this part of your contract, and we'll extend it while we take a deeper look. And the ordinance part of it, no way was there an expectation by July 1st. No way. It's just the contract and how we're executing it.
So Laura says, as you've been talking to people and then been exploring this, other than the mayor of Collins, the feedback, and I would say overwhelmingly not positive feedback, but the feedback you've been getting, has it been contractually based or customer service based?
There is one consistent of a contractual base that is the biggest concern, and it has to do with notice of the city having to call on anything but an emergency situation. We have, some residents don't understand that. They call animal control or dispatch directly, and then they're told call City Hall. Most of these city halls operate on part-time status. They can't sometimes find the right official. The city hasn't designated the right official. What if the only person they can get in touch with is the guy that handles road repair? Okay,
And that's part of our contract, that it's got to come through the city.
Yeah, it is in a non-emergent situation. That's causing the most trouble for them. Some of them say that you can't recreate an entire conversation on the phone, but in general, a lot of them have said so far, when told about, we have the hours till 3 o'clock and then more money after, that somehow whoever's telling them that is making it sound like it might be a lot more money, and I'm being told by the officials and the councils that if we need somebody to come out, we'll pay the extra money. And so there's this disconnect even about whether they can get people out. Sometimes they don't think they don't believe they can get people out at all. Other times, the person who's being told there's an additional fee doesn't feel that he or she is in the position to authorize that different fee. The end result is there's a delay in either retrieving the animal or in the call occurring. And Sue's got great explanations for why this happens. We've got two people on call 24/7. And if you get one call in one part of the county, you can't be clear across the county, right? So, there are things we can do that way to communicate. But this whole situation contractually about having us not go out unless we already know the city will pay for it in a situation with a running dog. Sue always goes out if it's a cold weather, in a cold weather situation, a extremely hot situation, an animal appears to be in distress or wounded.
A vicious animal.
They always go.
We don't wait for city approval on that. But, what we've done is we've followed our contract we've offered. And we followed the ordinance in comparison to the contract, and that's what we base our decisions on. And I think, I think doing something different with it is a good thing if we can find areas that we can improve, because we want to keep our service good. But there has to be, first of all, the cities need to read what they're signing, because that's very important. I mean, you know, I know what the contract says, and they need to make sure there's new people coming and going all the time, and, you know, just kind of know what we will and won't do. As for people that need to call the city, that's been that way for years. However, if I get a call saying, you know, we've got this vicious dog, whether it's the sheriff's office or whoever, like Laura said, a bad situation because of weather, we're going to go regardless of if we reach anybody. It's a health and safety issue. We're going to do that, you know. So, I mean, you know, we're following what the contract says we follow, and we're putting that to work with the ordinance that we have in place. And I am agreeing with Ethan in the fact that we, if you offer 11 different ordinances for us to follow, that's almost an impossibility to keep straight. I mean, seriously, we would have to probably, I don't even know how you do it, because every city is going to want something different. You know, so, you know, there is other things involved here. But I think the long and short of it is, you know, if we continue to work as what we've been working, I've been here 24 years, working with the contract and the ordinance side by side, you know, everything is pretty much explained. Is there things we could probably tweak in there? Sure.
Sure there are, but let's start with this. So 24 years, the people of Story County, the animals of Story County have been really, really lucky that you've been here 24 years. That said, it doesn't mean that, like you say, there aren't things that we can work on, there aren't things we can improve. But I'll suggest this. If our cities want, each one of them wants something different, they can absolutely have something different. They just need to go find somebody else to do it or hire somebody.
And not all of them, by the way, are asking for something different. That's the other thing I'd like to point out. This request comes from Collins. Ethan, I did try to work with the mayor of Collins to make this a longer process, and I was given an absolute, almost demand. You guys, I want this on the agenda, and so the timing for us is not optimum. We'd have liked to have gotten further into this and been able to talk to all the other councils or whatever. But we are honoring a mayor's request, and that's part of customer service. And I'm just going to go back to, if there's the one thing contractually that we need to start to look at right away, is that requirement about routing through the cities, especially. Sue and I discussed it. I believe a lot of that policy is back to whether we got burned by a couple cities on calls. And so since if we kind of walk away from the monetary issue for at least until we fix some other things, that seems to be the one that frustrates the residents most, frustrates the city employees most. And it's the reason I'm getting why they're starting to handle most of the calls on their own. And I was told by one city, their willingness even to continue to talk about this, I'm glad to talk about this, is because so far their facilities person has been handling the animals, but what happens is they've been lucky they've not had a vicious one. It's all been running animals, it's been cats in traps. Okay, so that's the number one, and so that's the one I'd like to work with Ethan on right away.
Yeah, I mean, so as I'm seeing this, and this is just thrown out for discussion, so we've got an immediacy that should include cleaning up the typos and the mislanguage in our existing contract. We want to look at, do we want to add this one component that is not necessary to route everything to the city, and what would be the impact of that? And we need to have all that done in time to get the contracts out to the municipalities for their consideration, right? So that time is of the essence of that. But as far as the rest of this, you know, a full group looking at major changes to either our contract or our operation, that sounds to me more like a late summer, early fall kind of conversation, just the way our workflow goes around here. And then as far as having a workshop for municipalities, there's no point in doing that, in my mind, until we get to the end of what we think we're going to be doing. So that would be even the additional language of right by both parties to amend this contract during its term. So what we signed for FY18, if any of them want to enter into it, with. And then I would just encourage, I'd like to get you guys' feedback on this, but I think it's important for Sue to hear it from us, in addition to the fact that you do a great job and we're lucky to have you, that it is our We're not worried about if a town stiffs us for $50 or $100. We want things done the right way. It is really, really important to us that phone calls be returned and contacts be made and people make sure they know what's going on. That's really important to us, much more important to us than whether a town is going to write us a check for $100 for a visit we have out there.
Well, and one thing I'd like to add, too, is, and I did talk to Deb and Loris, and I think Ethan, too, about this, is we have, in the past, I can't say now, but in the past, I included a cover letter on the contracts one year. We had incidents of, it wasn't about calling us to get the cats in the traps. They were being taken to various outlets because they didn't want to pay anything, and they were returned into the county. They're not spay or neutered. They're reproducing out there. And so I can think of three cities that were doing this off the top of my head. So it's not that we won't come and get them at all. It's not like that. We have our billing shows. We get plenty of them from the cities each year. But that being said, I think we also need to look at the fact that, you know, I kind of my cover letter stated to the fact that, you know, you can't take animals out in the country from your city and dump them or give them to somebody and turn them loose on a vacant farm for rat control or whatever you're thinking about doing. I mean, there has to be, you know, a responsible way that this is being handled. And like I said, I can think of three cities that did this. I didn't name them obviously out, but I did include it for everybody to know that so that they were aware that if you get a stray cat in town and you don't think you want to deal with it, don't take it out to the country and let it go. Because we were actually getting phone calls from these cities, residents complaining about that. They did not like it. So, you know, if we know about it, we try to take care of it, but we can only service. It's like Collins, there was a lot of blind things here that we did not know about till later. We can only do as much as we're told, you know, and there has to be that communication. And, you know, and I feel like we, when people call, we do call them back. But we always have in the past said, you know, unless it's an emergency, you know, if you have this mother and kittens, you know, you need to call the city and get their okay because that's in the contract. If we think that that may be a way that we don't want to go in the future, that's fine. I'm just kind of been following the tools that I've been given.
100%,
to do it, you know.
And we need to talk all that through. But what you just described to me, so the scenario of, you know, we've got this stray with kittens. Mm-hmm. Can you come get them? No, you got to call the city. Mm-hmm. City doesn't want to deal with it or pay anything. So now these cat kittens get turned out into the country. None of them are neutered or spayed, and so now we end up with more and more and more cats, which you're dealing with. You've got a lot of cats right now. By the way, if anybody wants to adopt a cat, now's a great time.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that the best case scenario for all parties involved, including the cats, is for us to get out there and get them and worry about getting paid by some entity down the road, because now we have them, we can take care of making sure they're not reproducing, that they're not in harm's way, it's taking care of the town. And so that's something that I would really like us to visit mm-hmm. sooner rather than later, just because I think it's a win-win.
That's the whole thing. Of course, we don't want this population, which we already have anyway, explosion with animals. So we're always, you know, taking steps in to keep that from happening. But, you know, taking them out into the country and saying, well, you know, somebody will find them, or they're just cats, they'll find their way around, or whatever.
Somebody
else's
problem. It's somebody
yeah.
else's problem.
And, you know, so we don't want that to happen. So, you know, like I said, we have followed our contract and our ordinance, and if that needs to be changed, then we will change it.
All right. Closing thoughts, Loris.
Done. I like this. I like the extension option. So yes, I'm looking forward to us all working on this over the next few months, taking care of what we need to right away, and then continuing to look at everything in the next 4 months.
Even clear and workable what we're asking for?
Absolutely. I think it'll have the benefit of allowing these cities and municipalities to that only meet once a month to give us more feedback. Because mm-hmm. right now, when they tell us address gray area, we don't know what that means.
Right.
Well, now we're getting ready to go out for our quarterly quadrant meetings. We make sure this is part of our conversation, Sue, as your schedule allows. Maybe it'd be a great idea for you to attend.
Sure, absolutely.
And like I say, we'll get to the end. Is Marty, anything to add?
No, I think the conversation is pretty much it for me. I guess, on the 28E. That's between two parties, and I think both parties need to be informed of what they agree to. And that's the discussion we have in our bond intending, is you bring the communities back. I mean, it's a process. You've engaged. I look forward to seeing where it takes us, but I like the language that was offered by Ethan and the county attorney's office to give us the time to do this right. I don't want to do it fast. I want to do it right.
And I believe I'm still scheduled to go to Collins on Thursday night, and I will let them know that the plan we looked at.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. No action required there. Thank you, guys.
Thank
good
you.
Job.
Thank you.
Next item is discussion consideration of panic buttons. Starting here in the Story County Administration Building. Cal, you and Barbara are on for this one along with Deb. So come on up. If your name's on here, you have to come up. And that's a good-looking shirt, Cal. I want to see that shirt closer. You know, coral doesn't look good on everybody. But
the story behind this, I've been referred to as a turkey in the past, and you know turkey season is open, so I'm trying to avoid the hunters.
You got to be a manly man to pull off coral. Good job. All right. Panic buttons. We've been working on this. So Renee Tweet, and again, just to set the table, Renee Tweet really initiated this conversation with concerns in treasurer's office. I think rightly initiated these conversations. As she initiated them and we talked through the budget process, it became apparent to this board that this was an item that was worth us looking out in the entire administration building. And so we charged the group of you to get together and take a look at what's really needed here in the administration building and what would it cost us. The supervisors have agreed that whatever we determine we're going to do in this building will be funded by the Board of Supervisors. Deb, am I looking to you to start us off on this?
You've covered the background.
That's right, really hard.
So what we did is we took the information that Renee had already gathered from a company called CEC and met with them, got an idea of what they could do for the administration building in terms of the panic or duress button system. And then in talking with Cal, he had also suggested contacting Strauss, since that is the company that we use other kinds of services for, to then have a comparison on products. And then Barb also contacted a company called Single Wire that would offer a product through more of a cloud-based system, so we could possibly have backup to a hardwire system. So I'm going to stop at that point and then turn it over to Cal to talk just a little bit about the systems and go through the table that you have in front of you. We don't have the single wire information included on this table. We just got that this morning and can cover that as well. But we'll first talk about the hardwire systems.
Okay. I think Deb is the only one that has been here long enough to remember that we have had a wireless system in this building before, and it was problematic from the time it was put in until the time it was put in the garbage outside. So my feelings are is that two systems would be the best, and a hardwired system is the one that I would prefer to start with as installation. Not only is it the cheapest, but we'd be able to install it ourselves, maintain it ourselves. And this is also the same system. We have two of them in operation now out at conservation, but they're working as burglar alarms. So this system is also something that the peripherals could be added if for some reason we wanted coverage when the building's unoccupied in areas for break-ins, that sort of thing. So that's the one I like the best. The wireless systems are more, in my opinion, geared for a hospital, nursing home type situation where the people that have them are in their areas all the time. The wireless system, if you have a wireless on and you're in the treasurer's department and you decide to go up to see a supervisor and you hit your button, the response is going to be to the treasurer's office. It doesn't follow the pendant to where the location it's at. So, and that was things we've seen with the old system. So that's just the experience I've had, and my feelings is the hardwired with potentially the computer software as an optional system to have two systems somewhere down the road.
Okay.
So then, as far as the software solution would be, I know this is funny.
I like that you lean in. That, so the whole point of us having that is you don't have to lean in.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I like to see the legs blink when it hears me. The software solution would be a complement to the hardware solution. What we thought with the other solution would be there would just be a couple devices in each department, whereas the software solution would give anybody with a computer or a phone the ability to alert a panic situation. It would, and it was hard to get these guys pinned down because they work mostly with Cisco phone systems and ours is not. But I did have a call with them this morning, and there is software that our responsibility would be to make our phones talk to that software, and the software would take them the alert wherever we want it to go. It can be a phone call to a mobile phone, a phone call to your desk phone. It could be an alert that pops up on your computer that doesn't go away unless you answer it. There's a lot of different options, whatever we choose, and this is something, like I said, that could be given to everybody, or we could limit it to only certain desktops or phones would have that ability. So I think it makes it a well-rounded solution. If one fails, the other can be used. And they just gave us preliminary pricing on 50 devices. We thought we would try the whole solution one building at a time and make sure we worked out all the kinks as we went.
So this is for 50.
Well,
what
quote is 50 to 249, I believe, so the price would be the same. 50 is the threshold.
Minimum.
Yes.
So when you grow from there,
yes,
with it only costing us hardware and our time to install it.
Now, if you're talking about the hardwired system, I believe that was for like a 40 or 50 button system, and it could be added on. It's expandable.
Okay.
And
both solutions are expandable.
Both solutions are expandable. And Barb, tell me what solution you're talking about.
I was talking about the single wire that we just got information on this morning.
That I don't have.
That we don't have.
No.
Yeah, we'd have to come back. We did not have that information.
All right. So I believe that we need to move ahead rapidly, as rapidly as reasonable, with getting this selected and put in, but we don't have enough information in front of us today to deal with that. So I'd ask that you guys take a look at, you've got three quotes in front of you now. Cal, I hear you loud and clear. We don't want to buy something because it's necessarily the lowest price or simple, or we want something that's going to work and going to work long term and address the concerns that we have. And so what I would ask the four of you to do is get together and talk through the pros and cons of each of these and come back to us where we can truly do an apples to apples as possible comparison. And I'd love to have a recommendation from you guys coming back for the board to consider looking at all three of these.
I just want to make one comment. We did do that.
Okay.
We did not have the software solution.
Right.
So the four of us kind of took this into consideration and felt like we need the non-software solution panic button system, regardless of where we go with the software solution.
Okay.
So that's why we came to the board today with the two quotes from CEC and Strauss.
Right.
Regardless of what we bring forward with a software solution, we feel that we need to have the board consider either CEC or Strauss. So we would need one of those two solutions in addition to a software solution if we choose to go that route.
Okay, so you're saying that you're recommending the quote you just got today,
yep,
would potentially be a supplement to one of these,
correct,
two, but not in place of one of these,
correct,
two. It would be one of these two and maybe that software supplement.
Yep, and what we looked at, and I don't think it was mentioned, I don't want to recover something, with Strauss, they do monitor it. So if a button's pushed, Strauss takes care of making that call to dispatch if that's needed. Now, my understanding with CEC is we would have to almost have it go internally. Somebody designated that would have to contact dispatch.
Right, so it goes to somebody, then goes to somebody.
Yeah, so we
and the $32.95 a month, monthly monitoring, is that per button? Is that
no, that's
total?
The system.
That's the entire
yep.
system having somebody monitor it.
Yes.
Okay, Laura, question.
Yes, so CBC is 3 times the amount of Strauss Wired. All right, and I just want to make sure I understand that Strauss, for the lower price, will go ahead and do the monitoring, well, for the $32.95 a month, and CEC, at 3 times the amount, we're still going to have to arrange for the monitoring.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, understand that CEC is a wireless option. So
that
there are differences.
They told us that wireless was problematic.
Right.
When
that's
we had
okay.
before.
Right.
And it is.
So that was, I was headed to my yes. next question, was that CEC is both wireless and hardwire?
No.
No. Okay. I'm sorry I missed that. Thank you. Now I'm up to speed.
But Strauss, we have a choice. We could go wired or wireless or a combination.
It'll do both, yes. But the to start would be hardwired.
Mm-hmm.
And also, talking with Dina, having a monitoring system call in with all the exact information is the way she would prefer to have that come in to dispatch.
Which is what Strauss offers.
Yeah, not a panel or something like that, that they would have to maybe leave a life-threatening situation that they're into.
Right.
And see what's going on with that.
Marty, questions, comments?
Just there's been a rolling series of things that we've done here in the county that I've had to make decisions upon. This is one of them. I guess, more as you can remember back on the Government Infrastructure Committee, this is one of the things that they had seen, and that was some years back.
34 recommendations. We've now addressed 33 of them.
I suspect we're going to check a box. I like the fact that we have I walked into this building when I heard confrontational voices being exchanged in the treasurer's office and in the assessor's office. The need exists.
And Loris and I weren't even in there.
That's right.
Wasn't even you guys. Shocking as that may sound. But clearly this is a clear and present issue that we need to address. I like the fact that Strauss is a scalable. I'm sure that she's probably gone to the respective offices and talked to them as far as numbers and placement. And I think this is wholly supportable in the fact that it needs to be done. That's how I see it, and I would encourage us to take this up.
So you're going to make a motion on that for Strauss Wired?
That's what I think you just did.
I would make a motion that we go, that as part phase one of this, we go with the Strauss Total Wired for the amount of $3,994.80 and then a monthly monitoring fee of $32.95 a month.
I'll second that.
Motion is second. Further discussion, board?
Can I make one comment?
Absolutely.
The installation cost of $2,500 is an estimate since that will be done by in-house.
Yeah.
So it's just a rough estimate of cabling, all that stuff. We don't know the exact cost of that yet. So.
And Kyle, you're going to handle as much of that as you can in your budget, but if there's components of this that are outside what you've got in your budget, just let us know and we'll work on that.
I'll do my best. Yeah.
And I would amend my motion for that dollar amount, Shelly, or how...
He has a
second.
Yeah, he
seconded.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Okay. That dollar amount or higher to the amount to complete installation.
In-house. Yep. You're okay with that?
I'm okay with that.
Second. All right. We've got a motion and a second to accept the Strauss Wired Strauss Total Wired at the cost of about $4,000 as an estimate based on the real cost of installation, which we're doing in-house. Further discussion, anything from the four of you before we vote on this? Okay. I think this gives us a great flexibility. It's addressing a long-standing need. Olson.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Passes. Thank you guys
for
your work.
Thanks
for keeping us straight as we work our way through this. Next item is Community Services Quarterly Report after we delayed it a week or two. Carla, thank you so much.
Charlie.
Good morning. Okay, so for our quarterly report today, we're looking at the period January 2017 to March 2017. For our general assistance program, we've assisted 20 single households in 13 for a total of 33. A year-to-date total for general assistance is 117 individuals or families that we've helped. For denials, this is where we are unable to assist an individual, and we refer them on to other agencies. We assisted 211 individuals with that. We've had 17 people that applied and for some reason did not return. Types of assistance, dollar amount-wise, for rent, we provided $11,357.28. And for miscellaneous items, meds, transportation, and burial, probably the bulk of this is going to be burial assistance, was $12,170. We did have one family household where we assisted with relocation assistance from Crestview. I believe that was for deposit of $1,000. And so year to date here, you'll see that total for the relocation assistance at $4,378.69. And to let you know, we have followed up with the five pending applications that we have spoken about. We were able to reach two individuals, and they had moved on and no longer needed our assistance. And then the three individuals we have not been able to get in contact with, we've made three attempts via phone to get in touch with them and haven't heard anything
back.
You bet. For SSI Interim Reimbursement Program, we're continuing to assist one individual there, and we've paid on five substance abuse services. Those would be attorney fees during the quarter. Any questions on those numbers at all?
Nope.
I was just wondering, going back to the denials and your year-to-date total of 685,
mm-hmm.
and is that higher or lower than we had last year? At the same three quarters of the way through the year.
You bet. On average, last year per month, we were 68 denials. Right now, we're at 76 at average per month. So we're a little higher than what we were. Total last year, we had 821 denials. So without doing the quick math mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, so we're ahead of, you did it on the monthly average, we're ahead.
Yep.
Is there a factor you think weighing in on this?
I couldn't pinpoint it to one thing.
Okay.
Some of the things that were reasons why we'll get a denial is somebody may be over our income guidelines, they may have lost employment within the last 90 days, they may not meet our residency requirements. Those are probably the typical things that we
okay.
may hear. They may be a student.
In the fact that we are about roughly 10 people a month higher, is there an economic factor in more people applying? Are you seeing a tightening of the economy? Or I know your individual reasons for denying
mm-hmm.
are many, but overall, does there appear to be a tightening of the economy?
Not that I could pinpoint, I don't think. I mean, I think we are seeing more individuals working, which if that is the case, then they're not going to be eligible. They may have a higher income than what our guideline is. So then that would be a reason for that denial.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. With assets, the agency hearings, panel work sessions, and the joint funders meeting were all held in January. The funding recommendations were posted then in January, and letters were sent to agencies in February. And the CICS Governing Board will approve funding for services that are in the asset process through the contracting process that we do with each agency. For the region, we had three transitional living centers that opened up. In the region, they were in Warren, Jasper, and Hardin County. Each of those homes, I should say, have four beds. And at the time I wrote my report, I know that all three of the homes were full. So 12 beds were being utilized. That service is developed to be up to a 90-day service for individuals who need a stable place to live. They may be going through a transition. They could be coming out of the hospital, out of jail. And it allows them time to seek stable housing, to get connected to community resources, get established mental health disability services if that's needed. There's a service coordinator that's assigned to work with an individual when they are in one of those homes to help keep them moving along and getting connected to whatever it is that they may need. So each client has a plan, and that plan is tailored to help meet their needs. So we worked on this during this quarter, updating the management plan policies and procedures. That was a I played a significant part in that, with doing all of those updates and taking that information to the advisory board, the governing board, MHDS commission, and then I did go on to DHS, and we have approved our amendments. A significant change in the plan is starting July 1st, where we'll be funding individuals with brain injury. And our region was recognized by Brain Injury Alliance of Iowa as Organization of the Year for our efforts in recognizing those with brain injuries and how we can assist them in connecting to services. And we are currently working on planning for a training that will be provided by the Brain Injury Alliance of Iowa Association for all of our staff and regional providers. Also during the quarter, I worked on the FY18 annual service and budget plan. We presented that to the governing board in March. It was approved, and it has been submitted to DHS. I believe we're waiting for official approval on that, but unofficially I did hear that there were no noted concerns. So I think we're just waiting for that final approval from Director Palmer, though. We have a staff member, Kathy Johnson. She's a service coordinator in our office, and she is going to be participating or going through a mental health first aid training to become a facilitator. And we have two other individuals within the region that are doing that. So we'll be able to offer adult mental health first aid to regional providers and other interested individuals. I'm excited for Kathy to have that opportunity. I think she'll do a nice job. Also, during the quarter, we launched the CICS Facebook page and our newsletter. That's a monthly newsletter. And I'm not sure it occurred during the quarter, but we also have a new website that's up and going. So.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
So before you move on to community services, Marty is our representative of CICS. Anything to add?
No, I have to say I've had a growing familiarity with the topic of mental health, and I was pleased to see that the legislature addressed a long overdue funding bottleneck that we've had. We will have additional dollars going forward here as what was done passed through the legislature, and I believe it's been signed in by the governor. So we have that. I'd like to see that we are looked to within the region itself as being somebody that's had a traditionally very strong presence in the mental health arena, and that some of the quiet conversations on a going forward basis, Story County has been able to take the lead, not the least of which with Carla and Deb in the background. And I think that we have a brighter future going forward.
Well, I think it was a necessary first step. I'm concerned longer. So I was concerned about the shorter term. Now this action takes care of a lot of the shorter term concerns, but it doesn't take care of the growth that's going to come down the road. Nice part is now we've got a little more time to deal with that. So I would say necessary first step, but it needs to only be the first step.
No, but it's progress, and it's been from 1996 until 2017. And I would encourage our legislatures that you need to be looking at this in much tighter time frames.
Agreed.
Thanks. All right, community services.
Okay, we had two service coordination staff that presented at the Central Iowa Autism Spectrum Support Group Aspire. They were invited to come meet with the families there to talk about the Social Security application process. So they did that this quarter, and also they were invited to attend a transition resource fair that was held at Heartland ADA. Erin Rewertz, she successfully obtained her certification as a CDSO officer in January. and I noted there she, during the quarter, had 61 interviews with veterans and surviving spouses. I got a report yesterday, and for the month of April, she conducted 31 interviews. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely rising for her. She's doing a great job. Administrative assistant staff, they assisted Brett with outreach efforts for a bus trip that's going to be occurring in May of 2018 to visit the Middle East Conflict Memorial Wall in Illinois. Staff assisted with sending out 400 emails. They printed 350 flyers, applications, address labels that were then mailed by volunteers to veterans. They had about 80 that were undeliverable, so then they assisted with updating the VA database for information for those folks. And something that we were approached by the Ames Tribune with was to make available in our office subscription order forms. They are partnering with a local business to have newspaper subscriptions available to folks for 1 year. And so we have those subscription forms available. Folks can fill it out, and then it's their responsibility to turn it back into the Ames Tribune. So that was a nice partnership there, I think.
I have a couple of questions. Going back to the administrative assistant helping with outreach for the veterans for the bus trip, is the bus trip being funded by the Freedom Flight Committee?
I am not certain on that.
Okay. So, obviously, we've had several Freedom Flights before, but how do we rectify which expenses that completely separate nonprofit pays for versus our work, as in legitimate veteran outreach?
Yeah, so as I understand it, all of that flows through the Veterans Commission, and they have the agreement. We don't have an agreement with the Freedom Flight. That is through the VA Commission, and I think they have offered some services from VA and VA staff in order to make those happen.
Okay. And then the question with the Ames Tribune one, it's my understanding the reason for giving these subscription order forms was so that the people could find out where those free little packets of food or little caches of food are around the community. Have you had anyone take advantage of this program?
We have. I meant to check on those numbers, and I didn't before I came over. The last time I looked, which was probably a month or so ago, we had about 20 folks that had taken the subscription.
Anything else?
I think it was a wise decision to send Erin Reivers through the training so that she could help Brett in his department, because when you're sitting there looking at somebody doing 61 interviews, those are interviews that are getting done. I'm sure Brett probably has the same amount of workload. So we have that population within us, and I think we address it wisely.
Yeah, I can't find an area where having having our community services and Veterans Affairs co-located and sharing some support staff functions and now sharing a little bit of Aaron's time is anything other than beneficial for everybody. And so thank you for working with us to have community services provide those, and that office space, I think it's really, really gone well. And I would just say, I think you rightly noted, we're lucky to have Aaron. We also really, really appreciate you and the job you're doing. It's been a tough time. But since you assumed the reins, there have been a lot of changes going on with the way community services operates and now with CICS, and we're really, really fortunate to have your voice on there. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Anything else for Carla?
Nope.
No. Carla, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, Margaret, you got a tough act to follow. Next is Environmental Health Quarterly Report.
Skipping how that sounds.
No. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you. All right. I always do PowerPoint because I have no memory of what I was going to talk about. And audience participation, right? So.
And I like pictures.
Do you? Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, we're
Alabama
we're
education.
Good.
Pictures are key.
Right? Where did it go? Sorry, this can take a minute here.
You may still be on the is the flash drive still stuck in there?
Oh, yeah, it's mine still, yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. Did it get... Sorry. I had it loaded. Maybe it's gone. Sorry, say that again. I'll just get this way. We have a Vigo. Musical disc. Second. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I am going to start off with Crestview Mobile Home Park instead of septic systems today. So, the water did test safe back in March from one of the house, from one of the trailers on the loop. So that is still going okay. And then county received complaints resulting in environmental health and planning and development doing a joint inspection out there. And Marty joined us as well. And what we found was numerous vacant trailers, solid waste, occupants and trailers without water that are off the loop, concrete rubble being hauled in and placed in the lagoon, log and firewood business, and I'm talking huge, huge trees blocking the roadways, delinquent taxes, contentious relationships with the tenants, and the landlord, Grant. And then we are currently working with Ethan to come up with a joint and coordinated effort to enforce everything we need to do. Since that date, and that was a few weeks ago, we have not yet issued notices of violation because we're still working with Ethan to get that all perfectly in order. The one thing is I sent some pictures to DNR and of the lagoon being filled in, and that they were issued a notice of violation for that. And his to abate that, he has to have an engineered plan. And we'll see how that goes. I learned from the Boone County landfill that trailers have to be brought in to the landfill on a flatbed unless they're inspected by DOT. So that means taking them apart, loading them onto the flatbed, and then taking them to the landfill. The next Board of Health quarterly meeting will include Brant Lemire on the agenda.
When is that meeting?
That is the first Tuesday in June. Those are just some pictures of what we're seeing out there. The middle top one, they're filling in that lagoon. Can't do that. And that's all rubble that's coming from the come and go that's getting rebuilt there. And a lot of the residents have complained about truckloads of stuff going past their house, their trailer, and being dumped there. A lot of vacant trailers. A lot of disgruntled people. So that's it.
Let's stop before we go on to septic. So I've driven through there a couple times, and while I've never visited a third world country, it looks like I would expect a third world country to look out there. One thing that I don't think you hit on that was in one of your bullets is we got occupants, and I just want to make sure this is accurate, occupants living in trailers right now out there that are not part of this water service.
That's correct. They have power, but they do not have water.
How is that legal?
Right. Well, we're working on that, yeah. County does not require anything because we do not have a building code. Like, where is it written that you need to have running water in a house? Dr. Passion, who is the chairman of the Board of Health, thinks that that is a violation of the health code. And
he's probably right. We just we're working with Ethan to get everything.
So I'm fine if somebody wants to build a house and instead of having indoor plumbing, they have an outhouse on their property. That's fine. But these are people who are renting a trailer with no running water. So I want to know, okay, I assume all these people are still going to the restroom. How exactly, how and where are they going to the restroom? What's happening? I don't buy for a second. This is the least vulnerable among us being taken advantage of, and it really, really bugs me.
Mm-hmm. That being said, it's also possibly a tenant-landlord issue where it's a civil matter. That's one issue. I'm just trying to look at all the aspects here. The other issue is he's renting the land at the trailer, according to Grant. I'm just repeating what I said. So they're paying less because they're not getting water.
That just confounds me too about, that we've got people without still running water. How sanitarily unsafe. And I guess we need to fix this down immediately or as soon as we can, but then down the road about that this shouldn't be allowed living conditions.
We are moving in a robust manner, and there are things happening behind the scenes.
You comfortable with how this is moving, Marty? I know you're our representative.
My frustration is, and I'm conflicted in the fact that we don't have a code that we can be used as an enforcement tool. But then again, I live out in unincorporated, so I'm not looking for coding. That said, we're working with all responsive entities that we've brought everybody together, knowing that we have a situation that we are not giving clear and, I believe, forthright answers to as we ask them, and things change. It is an exercise in frustration if you don't have a conversation. Because we don't, once again, if you were to pose the simplest of the questions to ask how many people live here, there's no clear answer to be given.
Well, didn't the Board of Health give him a maximum? It was a maximum number, as I recall, maximum number of 14 or 15 units, and clearly there's more than that.
Yes, his response, as spoken to myself, and I believe Jerry and Margaret, was the fact that he does not necessarily rent to these people that they're are occupying dwellings that are, he, in his perception, are storage units. And that he does not want to go through the experience.
We wouldn't even let chickens be in storage units.
I know. I tell you, I come to this within the last year, and I'm just shocked that this still is before us. But we have, I think, as a county, have resolved the fact that we are moving to see this to conclusion.
Okay. All right.
Just ask your forbearance in that sense.
No, it just needs to get there.
Thanks for your effort. The next step happens today at 2 o'clock.
Good. Thanks.
Yes, to that end, I would leave you with that cold comfort for the fact that we are multiple. We are showing up on site with no notice here at 2 o'clock.
But now there's notice.
I just spoke with Ethan today, and he said that Grant has to be there.
Okay, so
I will invite him after the meeting. I will get him on the phone.
Okay.
Yeah, he has to be there.
I have just a comment on the running the water. It is part of the Iowa Landlord and Tenant Law. It's section 562A.15 of the Iowa Code that there needs to be a supply of hot and cold running water and heat unless the tenant pays the utility company directly. That's hit or miss. That's just another piece of the puzzle that we're not always sure of who's paying for the electric bill and whose name those mobile homes are in, if they're renting. It's just part of the whole puzzle. But it is part, if they're renting directly from Brandt, it is his responsibility under state law to provide running water.
Alliant has meters to obviously abandon trailers. And when asked what's here, no clear cut answer other than the fact that he's surprised to see that.
And is Alliant able to release the name?
Staff has looked into that.
No.
No.
So we are only allowed with the information that we can solicit from the different agencies. And when you have a landowner that's operating under this business model, and you know, the answers are moving targets that they don't reflect some previous conversation, you're only left with what you can set and physically discern.
When this is all done, I think we're going to have a blueprint about, or a long list of what we need to try and fix to the best of our ability within our authority, right? And
yeah, but the problem there, Loris, and you're 100% right, but the problem there is trying to fix it in this segment also applies to everybody, and you just heard from the farm kid who, and traditionally here in Story County,
right,
you know, we've got to be careful about overstepping that. And so it's that, it's finding that fine line. The reality here is, though, this is very clearly our most vulnerable residents. There is nobody living out there who's out there with other choices. They're out there because they don't have other choices. And while I'm not a huge fan of the heavy hand of government coming in, sometimes the heavy hand of government needs to come in. And to me, this rises to that level that we better figure out what's going on out here, because we got some of our citizens living in conditions that we wouldn't allow chickens to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them do say that they really want to live there.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are saying that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there are several individuals that say they like it there. They don't want to see it closed.
Do you have any children living in these?
There is one family, and they're trying to get out.
Okay, because, I mean, we do have...
We have money available. Carla would be able to speak.
No. Well, but I'm thinking about, you know, if children are living without running water.
They're in the water.
Okay. They're in the water ones. Okay, that was a thought we go in through.
We did. I thought we had that through this fiscal.
Carla, you want to clarify for me if I'm right or not?
I believe it was February 28th when I came to the board. Option number one was chosen, so, and that was for any existing pending applications.
Right. Oh, okay.
They're still eligible for up to that $1,000.
Right.
New applications.
I think we're going to have the three of us, led by you, we're going to have to go have a new conversation.
Right.
Yes. Depending on the outcome of their visit out there today and then Board of Health meeting on June 2nd. The reality is we're now 4 days away from the passing of Paul Toot a year ago. And this was something that Paul had dealt with. It came on the radar when Paul was still our representative on Board of Health. That's too damn long for us to be dealing with this. Now, I get that we're government. I get that things take time. But, I mean, would you allow anybody you know and love to live in a situation like this? I mean, we have to do something, and we have to recognize that the people that are out here
don't have anywhere else to go.
And we got to get this figured out. And I know it's a complex situation, and, Margaret, I'm not suggesting that we haven't done our best all the way through, because I know we have.
We have.
I've been part of it. I know we have.
I mean,
it's just really frustrating that this thing is still going on,
pushing
and it's like pushing a rope. Well, we got to get to the end.
A question to Margaret and Marty, and I'm sure you've already looked at this. I just, for my own edification, okay, is there no way to come in through public health itself? Nuisances for environmental health, but what about through public health? Mary, really, you know, the public health contract part of this. Is there any way to go in through that? If somebody was found to be ill, to have visited a doctor as a result of an infection or something.
We go there, and we've gone there on several different occasions to get these photographs and just visit for complaints. You don't see a lot of people.
Okay.
They don't answer the door when you knock.
Plus, with the privacy, you can't ask for anything about sharing health records.
It's a hard deal.
Like
now, we know people are there. We just,
idea.
As far as them coming to us, they don't see us necessarily as coming in with white hats.
Right.
We represent, and I still got a voicemail on the phone that was sent to Paul just prior to his passing from a gentleman that lived out there going through this process, and I was asking Paul in a very confrontational manner, why are you kicking Matt out of my home? And I've never erased it because I do play it back periodically to listen to it for the fact that in this process that we're engaged in, there are people in those circumstances. Rex speaks to it in a way that there are folks that when they leave here, I don't know, they necessarily know where that next place is.
Right. I had thought the public health angle more from if public health was able to contact providers, health providers, to determine if there had been any type of infection that may have been associated with living out there, you know, E. coli or something like that. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, it's been presented to as far right. as, and we get a quarterly update in regards to reported infectious. But nothing that speaks to Crestview.
I've been stopped in the West High V. Just while I'm pushing my shopping cart, I've been stopped by residents of this place, and their message is, please, 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 don't kick us out of our home. And it's heartbreaking.
It is.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. Yeah.
Awesome.
Anyway,
we'll work
on that later today.
So septic, now we're going in the right direction with these guys. So 27 new applications received in 2017, 18 completed. We've had 26 septic time of transfer inspections. And the last septic in Hickory Grove, we're getting a new septic system in there.
They built a new house?
Totally on their dime. Yes, they are. Yes. So they missed that window of opportunity, but they're doing it anyway just because of the new construction.
Thank you, Ms.
So we're actually doing two septic systems out there, one for their shop and one for their house.
They gave it a go. Just an aside, they had a house burning party on their property.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
oh.
Because they dropped the property and they have to go fire practice. No, it's a good thing. I mean, just they took it upon themselves to go the extra mile. Water quality is improved. The community's made better. Okay, that's it.
New construction. No choice, actually. No choice.
I'll
just put that out there.
They did not rumble.
Let's give them credit for doing the right thing. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And very, very pleasant to work with. It was a nice trip out there.
Good.
So special projects with septic systems. Now, this is our busiest season. Everything is just upside down. But so anyway, and then with Jerry's group, they pull environmental health in to review the septics and the wells and anything environmental for there. So we've worked with them on the YSS review and the Ames Golf and Country Club clubhouse, and then also the new workshop. Now, the clubhouse they're putting in there right now, we've got water everywhere. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. But they're in the process of installing that new one. I'm working with Thomason's, it's that new restaurant up near Zering. I asked her if I could meet with her when she's into her business a little bit more so we could get a better grasp on what kind of grease and what kind of customer numbers and what kind of water flow we're talking about.
Doris had a burger up there last night.
I did. What good burger, cooked and still juicy, but cooked through. Homemade blackberry and raspberry cobbler. I took home one for my husband. And so, yeah, I did. So I was up near there for a McCallenberg meeting.
You got a public service announcement?
I guess so. I'm not endorsing any one place over another.
Okay. And then maybe, they're talking about hooking up the city sewer versus doing an on-site. So those numbers will kind of dictate the prices. And then, but because the pump will be involved, we think that the sewer, hooking the city sewer, will be a lot more expensive than on-site. Unless, Zering wants to come forward and try to get some money for extending their sewer line in those community development. Just a side note. Martin Marietta, they put up a new system. I took over the design of that. I worked with an engineer and left DNR out of it because they were just taking too long and they're just too busy right now. So we're trying to help out those guys. Newell Family's business, that's where the Service Master is. Are you familiar with that? It's right across from Cornerstone. That has taken so much time. Service Master cleans up after fires. And then they bring all that wastewater back, and we are trying to figure out on a septic system just what the heck to do with that. So back and forth a lot with that. So stay tuned with that. And the reason why this is going on is because they are selling that whole complex to another individual. So it's a good thing, this kind of transfer, we're getting this figured out. And then the Simpson commercial, that's the property
adjacent to it, they are adding on, and that was also a good opportunity to go in and just see what's going on over there. Irons is starting up. Good luck is all I have to say. It's just a quagmire out there. How they're going to get laterals in there, the engineer has all these ideas. You know, we'll get the Advantix in, yes. Laterals, wow, good luck. They might have to pump it over to the golf course. IDOT tower, we worked, that's that communication tower that's going in. The problem with that is there's no record on where their septic system is, and we need to know that before they can go forward so that they don't ruin that. So we're working with the DOT folks on that. Mound troubleshooting, we've had some trouble and some complaints. An individual suggesting that the county pay for their mound failing. I suggested that has never happened. It's a 13-year-old mound, and they haven't been maintaining their system, so the problem is theirs. It is not ours.
Why would they suggest that we need to pay for their mound?
Because it was the permit was issued for the wrong system, or it was before I was issuing the permit, so I can't speak to that. But Don always did a really good field job. Always came up with good ideas and the right system, in my opinion. And he thinks because it's failing, it's either got to be the contractor's fault or the county's fault, the guys that did the soils work and came up with this idea. I haven't heard from him in 2 weeks now, so maybe he's kind of stopped asking.
Yeah, so I just suggest if you hear any more, just refer it to Ethan.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay. Yep. And then tough sites. I included this picture. This individual, he wished he had dug that hole before he bought the property. And so, as you can imagine, designing, so they're going to tile it, but designing septic systems in that is just tricky business. So we are letting these packaged systems, the Vantix or Coco filters, come into the county because that is a much better option than anything else we could come up with.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to see how these Advantix and these prepackaged systems do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate you having them come in.
And on a side note, Mike and I met with Advantix folks out at Hickory Grove Lake and talked about the possibility of going that route if Colo said no to receiving the sewage from Hickory Grove Lake. So wells, not a lot of geothermals going in. So one permit in this year, four plugins, 35 water samples, 9 time of transfer inspections. Vanster counties, we had about 9,000-10,000 added. We qualified because we're way ahead of our spending compared to other counties, so they had to give up money, give it to the county. So a little bit extra there. It's a good deal. Pools, tattoos, and tanning. We're done with our tattoo parlors, and Kathy's working on a tanning bed. 2 exams administered. Matt's been working on the pools. We're still obviously working on the indoor pools this time of year. 2 closures. I think that's more like up to 4 closures now because the hotels, they're bad. He has to shut down hotel pools frequently.
Does chemicals get out of balance? I mean,
get out of balance. They're not reading. They're, just a lot of bad things. But it's mostly just the pool chemistry, yeah. And lack of reading, lack of equipment. Their equipment breaks down, they just leave it, It's a problem. And then you've all read in the paper about the Ames situation, the air or the water, whatever, making people sick. We got Matt out there, right before the scheduled inspection, just to make sure it wasn't anything in the water within our the confines of our enforcement procedures. We don't do air, we just don't, and I don't think anyone really does unless it turns into an issue. One thing, and we worked with the state engineer. One thing, the chlorine was too high, so bringing that down would cut down on the chloramines. So they're over-treating the water, basically. So that is one approach that they're taking. Trainings and meetings,
CAP, leadership training, Master Matrix. We worked on that. You're all familiar with that. I'll do Bill Kowser's presentation.
I thought that was a good presentation.
I thought so, too. Yeah.
Enforcement. Okay, so the house by the Church of Nevada has been removed. Everything's good. So that went smoothly. Received complaints on three houses in Fresno. One of them has signed up for a training fire with the Nevada Fire Department. The other two have cleanup and septic replacement orders. So each fire department is allowed two practice fires per year. So, well, he got the first one. They have to do the asbestos inspection first before they can do that. Rubbish pile in a ditch being burned, routinely burned on 520th. Matt and a deputy went there, and then a little bit of letter action, and the guy called up and said, yeah, it's me. I'll stop, you know, absolutely, you know. So that got squared away. And then people living in a house without, oh, yeah, that was a complaint, and we're following up on that with a notice of violation. It is a time of transfer, finding agreement, and they kick in.
So when they go to close, is that when the time of transfer agreement is signed? When is that agreement signed?
Yes. Instead of having an inspection, you can say, my system isn't going to pass, but I can't get it in time to for the closing date. Okay. And then the buyer signs that because we can't work with the previous owner. We have to work with the existing owner.
Okay.
And then we give them a reasonable date to replace that septic system.
And then if they don't, we notice.
Right. I just wondered if the agents ever appeared on the closing documents as a condition of funding themselves.
Yeah, some, you know, and that's the funding we don't care about. You know, if they decrease the price of the house or money in escrow.
I understand, but from my previous career in mortgage banking, that's an effective way to get things done if they are conditioned on the loan.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So, and that's the way we used to do it. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. And thank you. One other thing, when Sue was talking, I'm just wondering how, you know, the Board of Health, how they interface with animal control for rabies and quarantine and this and that. We need to take a little closer look at that before you change, or so if we need changes, that can go along with yours. Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. And I think that's all I have. Anybody have questions?
No. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Have a great day. Sounds like you got a fun afternoon planned.
Yeah. Don't want to change.
No other reports. Public forum number two, opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. We won't take any action due to the privacy open meetings law, but we might take action in the future. Anybody wishing to address us, come on up. Seeing no one moving immediately to the microphone. Liaison assignments, committee meeting updates, and announcements. Marty.
Speaking of Colo City Council, had the opportunity to attend last night to listen to their engineer's report and their lagoon capacity. It was a mixed bag for the city of Colo in the sense that they were noticed that they have a infiltration of stormwater, rainwater that is taking down their capacity, that they're going to have that hard conversation amongst themselves. The issue at hand, they have a housing expansion that is likely to be happening here in the near term that is going to be causing what is a known bottleneck on the south side of town as it is pumped through a lift station to the lagoon proper, that they're going to have to address that with the likely increase of inflows. But to that end, the engineer did not see any contributions that moving from lagoon system to connection system with Hickory Grove would be a serious impediment to their capacity. So I guess it's a qualified asterisk good thing. We will be having follow-up conversations later this week. Mike Cox will be talking with, I believe, the engineer and then in turn the city themselves and on seeking a path going forward. If, in fact, that the engineer gave us a qualified, this is not your problem. One of the three problems that the council was presented with last night, the least of their concerns would have been the connection to our lagoon system out of Hickory Grove, because of the inflow capacities that they believe that they had numbers that was going to be generated over the course of the year. So
So when do we get a definite yes, or was that?
They're still working through the fact that they have, you know, it was not a clear cut yes or no. We were not the primary reason. We were the instigator of the engineering study. But what the engineering study came forward with was the fact that there is a mixed bag of issues that they need to take into account affects their use and capacity of their lagoon system.
So we got an absolute definite maybe.
Yes, this is a stay tuned, but it's a positive stay tuned. Because yes. I frankly went into the meeting and Mike Cox and I had talked about the fact that this quite likely was going to be an outright no, and I was a little bit whipsawed.
I expected you to come out with a no.
I did too, but we did not. And it was interesting to see that they have more capacity in that plant because they had not done a engineering study for quite some time, if ever, in the last 20 years of bringing that online and finding what they found. I think they're going to have some conversations amongst their neighbors to find that what they do with their stormwater is going to be both expensive and unwelcome. It was done here in Nevada, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, and what we did with the sub-pumping of water and the routing of storm runoff that was going into the city and causing them issues. And Nevada is now in the process of acquiring land to put another treatment plant in because we're already a big user of water anyway. That said, okay, that takes that off the table. Crestview, as you heard, we alluded to the fact that we're going to have a working group there today. We have training day tomorrow for problem employees. I look forward to seeing if that is on Wednesday. We
don't have any problem employees. What are you training?
I have to say, on an organizational basis, I have been nothing. In coming on my first year here on the board, have been pleased with who I have found and had to work with. They really come to work and they want to try. Brandon Dreyer and I will be doing another one of our weekly tours of the county in regards to dealing with communities. You have some asks as far as making connections and introductions. I do that now. That's part of my week. And as of this morning, I got an invitation to meet with the new Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, at the Bill Cowser Farm on
Absolutely. Good Georgia boy. Georgia's not that far from Alabama. That's the only good people. That first cousins.
Alabama.
Yeah, with the family trees going forward in some of those places. Lawrence, you've had an animal excellent adventure. You had animal excellent adventure this week. What else?
Tuesday night meetings, there was a discussion on refugees, a sponsorship of refugees at the town hall. I attended that. I think the big thing for Story County right now is that the refugees are coming into basically the Des Moines area, and that's where they expect people to continue to settle. They based upon wanting to live near others of their nationalities or their backgrounds. So we probably are not looking at any refugee settlement efforts of any major size for a while here. But that's just based upon the people who were there that night and who had experience with it. I was at the HRDA board meeting on Thursday morning, and we will probably have some changes or some challenges for HRDA delivering services here in Story County coming up as a result that we, the HRDA board, voted to cancel our contract with the provider that was delivering transportation services in Boone County. And instead, HRDA is going to be quickly putting together a plan to determine how they can deliver them with HRDA staff. They are going to make offers to all of the bus drivers to keep them on, but we already know that there will be some combining of services or looking at what they can do with routes and the buses. So I anticipate there will be some changes in the summer. I'm going to, and the supervisor from Boone that represents Boone on the board, we're going to be in contact, a lot of contact, in hopes that we can see this moving forward with no service problems here in Story or in Boone County. But this is going to be actively a work in progress as we move toward June 30th. So, yes, I've been visiting city councils, and this week also going to the management training. Marty, are you going to Smart Cities on Thursday?
I have tentatively got that on the calendar. I have one thing that has arisen, and I don't know whether it's involved or not.
Well, I'm going to Smart Cities for sure. All right. So it's an economic development conference down in Des Moines. statewide. So I'll be there on Thursday. Other than that, you can look for me almost every night of the week, then at a city council meeting.
Okay, good. Let's see. Margaret and Marty, in your adventures this afternoon, to quote a great 1980s TV show, let's be careful out there. That's right. Good day today. I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Adjourn. Thanks, everybody.